This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dale, and welcome here to the War Room at BPN Radio and Seismic Radio. So we are looking at the problems we've got in this world. We are fighting the good fight. We are looking at dealing with any stronghold that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And there are big problems we are facing in our generation, and we need to deal with them. And the challenges which we are facing today, they are much bigger, an awful lot bigger than 20, than 10 years ago, than 5 years ago, or 20, 30 years ago. So when I look back, you know, what we are up against is, in the West, in the so-called, Occident, the Christian Occident, what we are up against is just absolutely crazy. The falling away, the apostasy that has been happening over the last 10, 20 or 30 years is just incredible. It would be great for millennials to just start talking to their parents, start talking to their grandparents, what life was like in the 70s, in the 60s, in the 50s, what values and what standards were applied. Now, one of the problems, I think, and we need to look at this, is the media, and it's the news media. And one of the big, big problems is, and it's, you look at the history of the news media, and it seemed to be that there was a very small group of people who started it all off, and then it expanded, and suddenly you had, like, people all over the place who were creating and generating news, and that suddenly became consolidated. And now we find that most news we have fed is just controlled by a very low number of people. And very often it's not just a corporation, but it is companies and corporations which are owned by very few people, by very few people. So we've got a very tiny minority that's trying to shape our thinking with the stuff that they're feeding us with on a daily basis. And very often, you know, Donald Trump made a big thing about the fake news media and the fake media. And very often this is the case, that there is a doctrine, a philosophy, a religion. You may even call it a religion if you look at atheism and humanism and agnosticism and things like that. They are feeding this to us on a daily basis, and it's quite disturbing. It's very, very disturbing. Anyway, I did a little bit of research, and not much, but just a little bit. I'm aware of the situation. I know a lot of people are not aware of it. So they, at night, you know, they come home, they, you know, fall down in the sofa or the settee, and they turn on the television set, and they want to know what's going on in the world, and they get like a narrative that's being given to them. And it's up to them. It's not even up to them to decide whether it's true or not, because very often people are just too tired and too busy to really, you know, check this out or to just ask simple questions whether, you know, this is true or not. One of the things which has come up, and this is maybe more so in the last 10, 15 years, is that there are people who are doubting a lot of things which have been narratives which have been presented as facts, but are not necessarily the truth. And when you start sort of asking questions, and you sometimes very simple questions, and you look, you know, where's the evidence of whatever these people are claiming, it gets interesting. And very often it takes you through the rabbit hole, and you go into a journey where you realize things which are very, very different to the stories you've been told. And that is partly the result of the mass media we've got today to manipulate masses of people into a way of thinking that suits a very small class, possibly an elite, or sometimes it's just the, you know, the consensus that is run by the people who run the media, that is there by the people who run the media. There are certain sets of people who go in there. Once they're in control, they make sure that they get people, like-minded people, to fill in all the posts which are available, and then suddenly the media is used to push a narrative and to push a ideology or a philosophy. In the past, it's been done by force. We can see this with the governments in the West and in the East, and we talked about this in the last talk, which would be talk number 135, if you want to check it out on christianballroom.com. This is going to be talk number 136. But anyway, we checked it out, and there was like a big difference between obviously the narrative in the West and in the East. Both of them, you know, told their people, you are living in the best possible country, you are free, you are living in freedom. And the people believed it, they started believing it. And I found it quite interesting that when I was talking to Russians, that they thought that they were living in the best country in the whole world. And that they are looked after from cradle to grave, which is pretty much true. You know, their people were looked after by the state. They were given jobs. They were given, you know, everything was done for them. Everything was thought for them. The whole career path, they were born somewhere. And when they died, everything was looked after. And they didn't have to worry about anything because the state was there. In the end, the whole system fell down. And it wasn't quite as easy. But there was probably about one generation who, you know, was living through this time. There was a lot of oppression. There was a lot of nasty stuff going on as well. But to be fair, there was also a lot of nasty stuff in the West as well. A lot of crime, a lot of other things as well. Political persecution, maybe not so much. You could pretty much say what you wanted. But there were sometimes problems in other areas as well. Unemployment and things like that, which was unheard of in the East. Anyway, let's move it a little bit further. I've got a couple of audio snippets which I want to show you, and they just show you how the media has been manipulated. I've got a couple of little bit of information. The unfortunate thing is this morning I was just gathering a lot of information. I was typing it down on my phone in some a notepad, and I forgot to save it, and I was sidetracked, and I lost all the information. Yeah. So I've got a book here, and there's been the new media monopoly, and it's a book which has been written by, I hope I get the name right, is Ben H. Bagdikian. So it's Bagdikian. Let me just try this again. Bagdikian. Bagdikian. I hope I got it right. This, it's sold as a paperback. It's from Amazon between $8 and $23, and you can get it from Amazon, this book. And I'm just going to read it to you. The first edition of the Media Monopoly was published in 1983. Critics called Ben Bagdikian warnings about the chilling effects of corporate ownership and mass advertising on the nation's news as alarmist. So the book was considered to be alarmist. Since then, the number of corporations controlling most of America's daily newspapers, magazines, radio and television stations, book publishers and movie companies has dwindled from 50 to 10 to 5. Yeah. So he first wrote it in 1983. I assume the number of 50 went towards 1983. And today we're just looking at 5. There's another talk which you'll hear in a minute about 6 news corporations in the United States, and they control everything. And you will hear in a minute two audio clips. One audio clip is just somebody just talking about this whole period, and then the next audio clip is news readers just reading from a script. And here's the scary thing: the script is used, the same script is used by left wing and right wing TV outlets, and you kind of wonder, you know, what is going on here? Why is this the case? And they're not even owned by the same guy, yeah, or by the same organization, these news outlets. Fox is Rupert Murdoch, and then I think it was NBC and ABC, where this was done as well. And then there were like a whole range of local TV stations where they had the same script. But this went along the board, you know, different corporations, the same news script. And you think, what's going on here? You know, this is just weird. So we're going to look at that. There's also some interesting stuff with Christian radio stations. I had a look at that one. I once heard a broadcaster who was, you know, had been a veteran broadcaster, who had been in the industry all his life, and he told me that pretty much all Christian radio stations in the United States are owned by the Salem Corporation. And I had a look, and I tried to, you know, find out whether this information is right. The information I got is, and I'm not sure how correct it is, but that there are about 1,000 Christian radio stations scattered throughout the United States. So they are AM and FM radio stations. And Salem owns about, I think, is it 100? Let me just go back. I wrote all these figures down. This is so annoying. And And I lost it all, yeah? And I don't remember it all. So anyway, I'm just going to look at it. I thought it was 196. So let's have a look. Salem. No, that's not the one. I just looked at Salem News Corporation, and that's quite disturbing as well. I hope they're not the same people who own all the radio stations. They've got in their logo a little witch that's riding on a broomstick, and that's Salem News. Let's have a look. Let's have a look at Salem. Salem Broadcasting, I think it was called. Salem Broadcasting. Oops. I'm nervous, and I'm typing too fast, and I'm mistyping. So we've got the Salem Media Group. Okay, they come up with an awful lot of stuff, and it's truly Christian. Radio stations, Salem Media Group. Let's have a look. It's not in every state. It's interesting as well. There are a lot of states where they have got a browser or a station map. And... No, it's 119 radio stations. I got it wrong. I thought it was either 96 or 196 or something. 119 radio stations. And when I look at them, there are a lot of AM and FM. It seems to be, I think it's more AM than FM on the first glance. But they own about 10% of the Christian radio stations in the United States, according to these statistics. A little bit more than 10%, maybe 11%, 11, 12%. I'm not sure, you know, whether this is disturbing or not. I would always laugh, you know, to have a local Christian radio station that's hooked up with the local churches and serves a local community. Yeah. So anyway, that's that, and that's where the monopoly comes in, even within the Christian sector as well, to some extent. Okay, let's see how much time we've got. Let's go through the first news clip. So this is just somebody talking about how all the different big broadcasting corporations, or smaller ones as well, got merged, bought up, and so on. And now we've got, we're down to about five or six in the United States. Okay, let's listen to the track.
In the early 1980s, roughly 50 different companies owned 90% of American media. By 1992, that number had dropped to less than two dozen. And in recent years, that same 90% has fallen to just six major conglomerates. Although various mergers and layers of external control make this an inexact number, most of the big six hold interests in film production, cable and broadcast television, news, sports, music, and online streaming. So, who exactly controls the media? As of 2015, the largest media company in the world by revenue is Comcast. According to the SEC, in 2014, they reportedly made nearly $69 billion. Like the other conglomerates, Comcast owns nearly every step in media production and distribution. In fact, Comcast is the single largest cable provider on Earth. Content is created through subsidiaries like NBC Universal, which is then broadcast over TV and the internet through Xfinity. Comcast is also a major internet service provider, covering more than half of all U.S. broadband customers. Even online streaming giant Hulu is jointly owned by three of the big six. The next largest conglomerate is the Walt Disney Company, with reportedly roughly $48 billion in revenue. Disney has holdings in theme parks, movie studios, and diverse television networks such as ABC, A&E, and ESPN. They also own a number of legacy companies like Pixar, Marvel Entertainment, and Lucasfilms of the Star Wars franchise. The third of the big six is 21st Century Fox, which emerged in 2013 as a spin-off of Rupert Murdoch's News Corporation. Today, Fox makes about $32 billion a year and is predominantly focused on film and television, including Fox News Channel, which made nearly $800 million in ad revenue in 2014. The last independent conglomerate is Time Warner, with revenues of about $27 billion. In the 1990s, they were the largest media company in the world, but an unsuccessful merger with AOL at the peak of the dot-com bubble made them lose nearly $100 billion in 2002. Since then, AOL and Time Inc., as well as Time Warner's entire cable division, have become separate companies. Because they are now unrelated, Time Warner and Time Warner Cable are the fourth and fifth largest media companies in the world, according to Forbes. Finally, the last two are CBS and Viacom. In 2013, they reported about $14 to $15 billion in revenue each. They used to be a single company controlled by National Amusements, a movie theater chain. Today, although they are individually held, National Amusements owners have enough stock in both to effectively dictate control. So in a way, there aren't even six conglomerates, but five. Or maybe there are seven. Some, including Time Warner's former vice chairman Ted Turner, have said media conglomerates have become oligopolies and that they stifle innovation. But others point out that they can also provide a greater global reach for smaller and newer companies.
So that was a little bit of a rundown of what's happening with all the different big corporations in America and how they all came together. And okay, now we're going to go to another news clip. So it's very interesting to see this. We've heard from the author about the so-called alarmist who was writing the first book in 83 and was prophetically seeing into this, that there was just this buying up of one another, and eventually you end up with just like a very few, big news and media giants who pretty much tell us what we are to be entertained with and which way to go. And anyway, it's a big problem. It's a big, big problem when you look at that and when you look at the monopoly position. Now, the next bit is even more disturbing, and I've only taken out about two news clips. And it's just like that the news anchors use the same phrase again and again and again. And you can hear this. Obviously, you can't see the different pictures. Now, when I was looking at the clips, I could see different logos for the TV station. And Fox is normally considered to be a right-wing TV station. And then you got the same slogan being read off the auto cue by NBC. And I think ABC was there as well, including tons and tons of sort of local TV stations. And that, in my opinion, makes it very disturbing because you find that different corporations are using the same newsfeed. Yeah, totally different corporations. So one is Fox, which is owned by Rupert Murdoch. And I think NBC is owned by some, is it Viacom or somebody? But it's owned by different corporations. So they're different organizations, but yet you hear the same newsfeed. And this is very, very disturbing. Okay, let's play the clip and then I come back after that.
Small business is the backbone of the American economy.
Small businesses are the backbone of this nation's economy.
Small businesses are the backbone of our economy.
Small businesses are the backbone.
Small businesses are the backbone of our economy.
Small businesses are the backbone of our economy.
Small businesses are the backbone of our economy.
Hi, I'm Fox San Antonio's Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities.
Eastern Iowa communities.
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS4 News produces.
But
we are concerned about troubling and irresponsible one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
In consumer news, economic factors may take some spring out of the Easter Bunny step this year.
Economic factors may take some spring out of the Easter Bunny step this year.
A child's happiness is priceless, especially on a birthday.
A child's happiness is priceless, especially on a birthday.
A child's happiness is priceless, especially on a birthday.
Well, a child's happiness is priceless, right? Especially on a birthday.
A child's happiness is priceless, especially on a birthday.
A child's happiness is priceless, especially on a birthday.
A child's happiness is priceless, especially on their birthday.
A child's happiness is priceless, especially on a birthday.
A child's happiness is priceless, especially when it comes to their birthday.
birthdays.
Absolutely.
A child's happiness is priceless, especially on a birthday.
A child's happiness is priceless, especially on a birthday.
Well, a child's happiness is priceless, especially on a birthday.
A child's smile is priceless, especially on a birthday.
A child's happiness is priceless, especially on a birthday.
You know, a child's happiness is priceless, especially on a birthday.
A child's happiness is priceless, especially on a birthday.
A child's happiness is priceless, especially on a birthday.
A child's happiness is priceless, especially on a birthday.
A child's happiness is priceless, especially on a birthday.
A child's happiness is priceless, especially on a birthday.
I hope I didn't drive you to insanity with this with these clips and just repeating the same phrase over and over again. But anyway, it's just to illustrate what is happening in the news today, that there's just one repeat after the other, and the same auto cue is used for different TV stations all across the country. Yeah, and then the scary thing is you've got your left wing, you've got your right wing stuff, you've got your NBC, your Fox, and all the others, and they come up with the same auto cue. I'm not quite sure how pronounced it is in other countries. You know how far this monopoly has gone. I did a little bit of research, and I was sort of looking at different countries. I mean, the countries I'm familiar with are. England, maybe a little bit Russia and Ukraine, Germany as well, because obviously I grew up there. A little bit America, you know, due to, you know, working with a lot of Americans. And so I've got like a reasonable idea of what is going on in those countries and how the news has been done. Now, in Germany, the news monopoly and also the outlet of monopolies has pretty much been whittled down to two contenders, which are Axel Springer, and he does the Germany's tabloid called Bild, and he's got his hands into a lot of other ones, and then in the Bertelsmann group. Okay, Bertelsmann, again, they're big in printing, and they own a lot of TV outlets, news outlets, and so on. Okay, then when we go to Britain, we've got Rupert Murdoch, who seems to, I'm not quite sure what he doesn't own. There's obviously the BBC, and then there is ITV, which I don't think is owned by Rupert Murdoch. Then there's the Sky Network. So if somebody in Britain has got a dish on his house, and most likely he's paying some fees to Sky. And then we've got Virgin, which is Richard Branson. And so again, everything is sort of limited to a very few outlets. Okay, now what's my experience in Britain? Now, when you look at the media here in Britain, you've got the BBC, who has become very, very liberal. Yeah, so it's pretty much run by a bunch of liberals. I've lost the trust within the leadership of the BBC. You know, subject to some of the scandals which came out with paedophile rings and other stuff, which has been going on for decades. Yeah, and sort of slowly things are coming out, and there's a lot of controversy. I knew a couple of guys who were doing some work for ITV, and again, I'm not too convinced or not too keen on them either. Channel 4, a lot of stuff they've come up with is all pro. You know, the new agendas which are coming up, the anti-Christian agendas, LGBT, and all this stuff. A lot of this stuff, it's a bit sort of human interest based. So anything that's gory, anything that's highly controversial, they come up with, they broadcast it, and that's how they get their audience, and they are quite successful in it. What else have we got? We've got Channel 5, and then we've got Sky with all the Sky outlets and all the stuff that comes out from there. In all, it's very, very frustrating. Sort of the programming you receive from there is broadly anti-Christian. And I find it, again, fascinating when I look at this. And again, I'm a child of the 60s. I was born in the 60s, and my memory goes back to the 70s. And a lot of films I saw in the 70s on the national television, they come right back from the 50s, you know, some of them even from the 40s, you know, from the Nazi days as well. And not all films made in the period were political. Some of them were just, you know, just nice films. Yeah. And again, when I look back at those films, they were just clean, healthy, or reasonably healthy entertainment, where there was no innuendo, there was no promiscuity or anything like that in there. It was just a reflection of life, a little bit of fun, and a little bit of a plot or a story or something like that. Yeah. Again, when you sort of move then into the 70s, it was very critical of society. It picked up problems and it dealt with that. But in general, it was the whole sense of depravity wasn't quite as strong. And you go back to the 80s and suddenly things change. There's just, I think that the biblical term would be a flood of dissipation, which is coming in through the media. And the media is turning into a moral cesspit, you know, telling people to abandon, you know, values which have been held by their ancestors for hundreds of years, to abandon these values and to look for new values. Personally, I believe that it has generated a huge integration, breakdown of the family, disintegration of relationships. It has turned people into, into something which is not very good. I mean, when you look at happiness levels in this generation, in my generation today, and you compare to maybe the happiness levels of my parents' generation, there's a massive difference. There's a huge difference. I'm convinced that my parents in general were happier. The worries they had were very, very different to the worries we have today. Yeah. For example, I look at my life. My whole life, I've never had a sense of job security. I never had a sense that I knew exactly where I was going to be the following year. When I look at my parents' generation, you embarked on a career, and when they started off, it was pretty much a job for life, depending on when they started. And they were guaranteed a job for life, and they could plan their future. They could plan, you know, they would have some sense of stability in their lives. Obviously, when I go to my grandparents, it's a different story with the wars and everything. But there was like a really, you know, nice period where that was. And morally, everybody knew where they were. You never heard of divorces. You never heard of, you know, people being seriously unhappy and, you know, leaving their children or anything like that. It was just, it did happen, yes, but very rarely. It was like, you know, the one kid you knew where something had gone dramatically wrong, but it wasn't like every second kid, like it is today. And so the point I'm trying to make is media has got a lot to do, because a lot of this stuff was sown by the media, where people were told how to live, where people were encouraged to pursue a certain lifestyle. And then we go further and we look at the whole monopoly position of the media, which has been happening today, where a very few people can decide what the majority of the people is going to watch, going to see, and what the majority of people is going to think. So it's a bit like a mass brainwashing, similar to what we had in the Nazi days. Something very similar is coming up today as well. Now, maybe it's not quite as extreme, because you may argue we've got the internet, and we've got an escape. So if I want entertainment, I can now look for my own entertainment. I'm not reliant on my 1,000 satellite channels, or, you know, the choice I have on my cable network or my satellite network, or the, you know, terrestrial. But I can have a lot more, yeah, because I've got the internet. But we're going to look at this in our next talk, what's happening with the internet and how the internet is going, and when we are looking at the freedom of the internet. And again, I picked up on some information as well when I was doing my research, which is going to be quite interesting. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we just pray, Father, for the freedom of the media. We pray, Lord, that you will raise up from amongst your people who will go into the world of media and who will produce good Christian films, good Christian materials, where people will be encouraged to follow you. I want to bless all those in your name who are doing this right now, who are producing films, and who are promoting the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate, or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.